into this series in the book of Acts. We're looking in Acts chapter 15. And we intentionally went with the idea and the theme of navigating the unknown because much of the book of Acts is obviously the early history of the early church. We're only up to about 64 AD, and so the church has only had about 60 years to sort of figure out what church is and what's taking place and what's happening. So it's a very fresh look at what happened to the church and how that developed and how we live in that relationship and how all of that impacts us from a biblical worldview as we live out church today in this culture, which is ironically very similar to the culture, particularly the European culture that we're about to look at as we move beyond chapter 15 in the first century AD. Much of what Christians came up against are the same issues we're facing when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work, many times when you're within your own family. And so it's helpful. And in Acts chapter 15, we come into this scenario. We looked at it last week briefly, so I encourage you to go online, look at it on YouTube or on Spotify, listen to the podcast, kind of get caught up. I'm not going to go through all the history like I did last week because this whole chapter, we isolated out 6 points we wanted to look at. We got 2 of them done last week. We're going to try to get the other 4 done this week as we look at the rest of Acts chapter 15. But as we understand how to help new believers integrate into the life of the church. Somebody who does not have a church background, which is very common these days, for somebody to come to know Christ without a significant Christian influence, without a cultural Christian influence, and in a very real sense, be somewhat blindsided, but by everything that it means to be a Christian, and especially what it means to be a Christian in the context of gathering and being with people in church and what church means. And so we're going to look at that again because it is probably one of the greatest navigating the unknown scenarios that any individual ever goes through. If you were fortunate enough and your parents were involved in church, your parents were believers, that transition may have been a little easier and it probably happened when you were a child. But if you're an older adult, like many of the people in our congregation who come to know Christ later in life, then understanding the nuances and understanding what's taking place can be daunting. It can just be daunting to come into a building with a group of people who do things that honestly you don't do anyplace else. You don't sing along with anybody anyplace else. You don't necessarily have anybody getting up to pray. That's not a common public experience these days. And then you come into this environment. Even issues like baptism, we may not even know what baptism means. You may see baptism for the very first time. We just had baptisms a couple weeks ago. We've got baptisms coming up again later this month. We'll have baptisms. We baptize almost every single month. And I understand you don't know. And I just encourage you, if you're contemplating or thinking that may be a part of what I need, talk to us. We always hang around after service. We're available through all means possible, Facebook, Instagram, email, phone calls. You can actually do the really old-fashioned thing and drive to the church and come to the office in person. You can do that as well. And so we make ourselves available to try to help some of these transitions. But there are things that as a group, it is helpful if we kind of understand where somebody's coming from. Now, in Acts 15, let me give you 30 seconds of history, otherwise it won't make any sense. The problem in Acts chapter 15, the conflict that they're dealing with, and what we call the Jerusalem Council, is convened to deal with this problem because for the first 50 to 60 years of the Christian church, it is, in a very real sense, a Jewish Christian church. It is almost across the board, unanimously, Jews who believed in Jehovah, who were waiting for the Messiah, who made the decision and understood and have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, understanding that he is the fulfillment, he is the Messiah, he is the fulfillment of everything they've anticipated and waited for. But about 60 AD, Paul's first missionary journey up into the greater Asian area, we have Greeks often called in the New Testament Gentiles, meaning they are not of Jewish descent, and they're definitely not of faith in Jehovah as the one true God. And they have a monotheistic background. They believe in multiple gods. You collected gods, just like you would collect things in your house. You collected gods, and just like you would collect amulets, they would collect gods and representations of those gods in hopes that somehow that would give them the protection or the security that they needed or the fertilization that they needed for their crops and fields and themselves and everything that's involved in all of this process of gathering things. And now they hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and find out, oh, guess what? There's one God, and you don't collect him. You know him, you have a personal relationship with him, and now they want to gather with other believers. And so this influx of non-historic Jews becoming Christians creates tension for the early church. And that tension's resolved in Acts chapter 15. And that's what we're going to look at. It's the same scenario. All of that may historically seem almost a little overwhelming. If you look into the background of it, it can feel overwhelming. But it's very simple. When somebody becomes a new Christian, they may establish that faith. They believe in Jesus. They know that Jesus has come and is a part of their lives, and that transformation begins to happen. And they gather with established believers, regardless of the background. There is a period and a time of transition that can, depending on the church, be relatively smooth or relatively difficult. It's our goal, I'll just say it unequivocally, it's our goal that it is a smooth transition, because we believe deeply that we need to be gathered, we need to be in community, we need to be in relationship with one another to mature and grow in our relationship with God through faith in Christ, which is what we established last week. So if you want to go to your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 15. I actually really do have a Bible here. It looks like an iPad, but there is a Bible here. And the hardback one's in the office. It was a little chaotic this morning before service. We looked at two things last week in Acts chapter 15. We looked at the historical background in the first seven verses. We looked at verses 8 and 9, where we talked about affirming faith decisions. If you're writing notes, or if you're on YouVersion using the notes, we posted the same notes, so you should already have that from last week, affirming faith decisions. In other words, when somebody comes to know Christ, part of our responsibility as a church is to recognize that, to acknowledge that, and to give them that encouragement. Because honestly, culture, society, the way it is today, and Western civilization in particular, they may not get that. You can't expect your school or your business, in many cases, even your family, to understand. You walk in and you tell them, I made the decision to follow Jesus. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to First Baptist Church next week, and I'm going to ask them if they will baptize me, because I already understand that the first thing you do after you become a Christian is get baptized. I'm going to get baptized. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it symbolizes. All I know is pastor told me to wear a swimsuit to church, and I'm going to get completely wet. And I don't understand it all, but it's the next thing I got to do as a Christian. That's what I'm going to do. I know this because that